Wouldn't it be great to get applause every time you stepped up on the platform? Rather than every time you stepped off? I guess in some ways you think, well, I step off, people are glad, happy what you said, but if they're happy you're off the platform, it might be something different. I just think that applause is kind of cool. It's neat to clap for Carlos when he sings and to clap for Ben when he sings and others. There's something that warms the cockles of my heart, as my dad would say, to get applause. Because applause, I don't know, lifts your spirit. And 116 years, I'm guessing there's some applause in heaven for you. And I can say that because the text we're going to turn to today talks about how to get the applause of heaven. But not just in heaven. It talks about how to get the blessing of God today. It tells us the path to blessing. And actually, it's the only place in the Gospel of John when Jesus tells us that we can do something to receive God's blessing. So listen up. This is very practical. This is how you can get God's blessing in your life today. It's found, of course, in the Gospel of John in chapter 13. Those of you who have been with us like forever as we study the Gospel of John, know that we're someplace in the middle of it. John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is the word of the Lord. Gracious Father, I ask that you would open our eyes to the message you have for each of us this morning, that we would leave here knowing that you have touched us from your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. That verse 17, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." This is the path of blessing. This is God's formula given to his people for how they can receive his blessing today. It is the path of service. So service is the path of blessing. Now, we at Living Hope Church have talked a bunch about service, and there are two different types of service which we want to talk about. One which I have highlighted a lot, and that is serving within your area of passion. This, we try to align you with things that you are excited about, that ring your bell, that you love doing. the things that where you're gifted and you just, that's your cup of tea. And we want each of you to serve within your area of passion. We believe that each of you have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit that are intended to be used for Christ and His kingdom. And so we try to align you with your gift with a ministry. And sometimes that means you're going to start a ministry. Sometimes it means you're going to join a ministry. But we try to find out, what's your passion? If your passion is to work with kids, we want to have you work with kids. If your passion is to work with adults, we don't necessarily want you to work with kids. It doesn't seem like a very wise thing to take you and when you have a particular passion and say, okay, you can't do anything in your area of passion, but instead we're going to put you in this place because we have a need in this particular ministry. It's one of the reasons that Living Hope Church is not a program-driven church. We don't have a lot of programs which we insist on filling the leadership needs of those programs. So if we have a lack of a passionate leader for a program, then we say it must not be time for that program to be happening in our church at this time. Because we believe that God has gifted His church with all the gifts that it needs in order to do what God has called that church to do at that particular time. And so we ask you to find your passion and find out how you can serve in that area of passion for Christ and His glory. So that's one type of service, the service within your area of passion. But there's another type of service which is also a part of the ministry of the church, and that is the service of necessity. Because in every church, there are certain things which nobody is passionate about. At least to date, I have never found anybody who is passionate about cleaning toilets. Honestly, if that's your passion, please let me know, because we got some toilets to clean. But nobody says, yeah, that's what I want to do. My spiritual gift is toilet cleaning. No, that's a necessity. Well, I guess it's not a necessity if you have clothespins, but in most places it's a necessity. We have to clean the bathrooms. We have to mow the lawn, vacuum the carpet. There are certain things which you do because they just need to be done. Those are the service of necessity. And each of us, I think, ought to be involved both in ministries or service of passion and also in service of necessity. Because service is the path to blessing. It's the path to God's blessing. And both types of service are going to get us there. And actually, I think you could make a biblical argument that the path to blessing is more about involving yourself in the service of necessity than in the service of passion. One of the reasons that Dick and Laura May have worked for 116 years and that means that since they started 57 years ago, they didn't actually start when they were 8 years old. That means that they're probably more than 65 years old. 65 is when your generation was supposed to retire. And part of the reason that they didn't retire is because that was their passion. It wasn't exactly burdensome to do what they loved to do. They also are involved in service of necessity. And it is the service of necessity which we're going to talk about today. Because when Jesus says, blessed are you those that know these things and do them, He has given as a model not something which He was called to do in terms of His passion, but what He was called to do in terms of necessity for the kingdom. And so the path of blessing is the path of service, because it reminds us of what is really important. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. That's verse 1 of our text. Jesus knew His time was up. He knew He had hardly any time left. Maybe less than 24 hours. Now, if you knew that you were going to die in 24 hours, what would you do? Now, some people have suggested, I think it was Martin Luther was asked this question, what would you do if you knew you were going to die tomorrow? And he'd say, I would do the same thing I do every day, because every day I do what I think God's called me to do for that day. Jesus knew. If they had mechanical clocks back in the first century, Jesus would have heard His ticking. Tick-tock, tick-tock, death is coming, tick-tock. You know, there used to be this pattern that when someone died, they'd stop the clock. That was back when we had pendulums. He knew the clock was going to stop for Him. If they had hung calendars on the wall, Jesus would have turned his last page. And in our text, he's in the middle of his final meal. And what does he choose to do? He takes off his outer garments, wraps a towel around his waist, and he washes the feet of the disciples. I haven't seen most of your feet, thankfully. And you haven't seen mine. Especially thankful for that. I have kind of ugly feet from a human perspective. Now, from God's perspective, how blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's cool. I have blessed feet. But beautiful feet. But my doctor doesn't even like looking at my feet. The last time I went to the doctor, I took my shoe off and he said, "What did you do to your foot?" He said, "What is wrong with you?" And I had explained, I stubbed my toes. I have one toe that doesn't have a toenail and one that has a black toenail. And all the kind of nasty stuff growing underneath it because I have ugly feet. I'm guessing the disciples had ugly feet too. Because they didn't protect their feet with shoes and socks like I do. And here is Jesus in the last day of his life washing the feet of the disciples because that was important. Service is the path of blessing because it reminds us of what is truly important and also because it demands humility. Jesus could have, had he embraced his humanity wholly at that time, he could have said, "You know what, this meal is all about me. I'm a dead man walking. This is my final meal. Give me strawberries and whipped cream and ice cream and a nice thick steak." You know, he could have demanded, "I'm going to die, so pay attention to me. Instead, he takes off his garments and he goes and he washes the feet of the disciples. That was an incredibly humble act. Now, foot washing was actually a common task, a menial task, and a dirty task. The path to blessing demands that we embrace humility. The Bible tells us this is true. God gives grace to the humble in 1 Peter. He lifts up the humble in James. You see, foot washing wasn't really about foot washing. Not in our text. It was about serving others at personal sacrifice. It was about humbling ourselves when we don't have to, and because we don't have to. Jesus chose to wash feet in the last hours of his life as an example to us. Service is the path of blessing because it reminds us of what is important, it demands humility, and it also reflects the life of Jesus. This, by the way, is the third point if you're taking notes. Service is the path of blessing because it reminds us, it reflects the life of Jesus. Verse 14, Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's." It reflects the life of Jesus. You see, Jesus made the decision to be involved in humble service. He made the decision to be involved in an act of service which was not in the area of his passion, but in the area of necessity. He gave his disciples this incredible blessing of washing their feet, and he said, "You should do similar things. You should do similar things. You should sacrifice something of yourself, something of your own time, in order to bless others." Because when we serve, we reflect the life of Jesus. It makes us more like Jesus. His comment, "You ought to wash one another's feet." Now, this is a perplexing thing, because even though I've been in the ministry for nearly 35 years, I can count on my second hand the number of times we've had a foot washing service. Laughter, applause. Nobody does it. Who washes feet nowadays? You know, it's just not a common thing to do. And yet Jesus says, "As I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." The reason we don't do foot washing services is because it's not really about foot washing, is it? It's about service. It's about choosing to sacrifice something of yourself in order to show your care for others. and in order for us to be more like Jesus. And when we refuse to be involved in service, the service of necessity, we close off a little bit of our ability to be like Christ. Service is the path of blessing because it makes us more like Christ. It reflects the life of Christ. If we always demand that we be served, then we're not reflecting the life of Christ very well, are we? I think this should be our fourth point. Unfortunately, I didn't number the points in my outline, so yeah, this is point four. Service is the path of blessing, also because it puts us in the center of God's will. If you ever want to know what God's will is, you wonder, what does God want me to do? Where should I be investing my time? What should I be doing? This text tells us, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. There's someone in your life today who needs a foot washing. Symbolically, there's someone who needs you to go out of the way to show love, acceptance, and forgiveness. There's someone today who has a necessary act of service which you can provide. It may be something as simple as making sure when you go to a restaurant after church, you don't leave the place an absolute wreck. That you give a blessing to them both verbally and maybe with a tip. See, God said, do this. Jesus said, I give you an example. Do as I did. So part of the challenge that we have as believers in Jesus Christ is to ask, what is my act of foot washing today? How will I be intentional in a service of necessity which is in some way similar to Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? Those acts of necessity. They can be, they're all over the board. They can be leaning over and picking up flower petals. I actually do that almost every Sunday because we have an incredible lady who nearly every week brings flowers to church. And nearly every week she leaves a path. I think it's because she wants to know the way out. But I come in and I pick the petals up because I want her to stay. See, each of those is an act of service. And I'm not complaining. I don't mind picking up the petals. But every day you come into church and you see things. You see a lawn which has either been mowed or not mowed. Trash which has been emptied or not emptied. You see a parking lot which either looks really nice or doesn't look nice. It's got weeds or doesn't have weeds. You know, somebody goes out and sprays weeds at the church. Not because somebody asked them to, but because they saw that as a service of necessity. I don't know anybody that has a passion about spraying weeds. I know hardly anybody that has a passion about emptying the trash. I know people that want to make sure it's emptied, but they want to make sure somebody else does it. There are all sorts of necessary things in the ministry of a church which are done by people who are seeking to reflect Jesus. And that's the cool thing, is that he's ultimately going to say, I've given you this example, do as I have done, and eventually you're going to be blessed because of it. Another reason service is a blessing is because it settles the question of who is the greatest. Verse 16 of our text says, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And here's the master serving. In Luke chapter 22, this is the question of the disciples on the disciples' minds. Who is the greatest one? Who's going to get the seat of honor? And Jesus answers the question by saying, the one who serves. The one who serves. It's a privilege to invest my life in pastoring. And I get the opportunity to preach. And it is one of my on service of passion to pastor. Although at times I want to fill out the paperwork for my retirement, like Pastor Coffee. I mean, he's been retired for 30 years and he's still Pastor Coffee. You can't unbecome Pastor Coffee. You can't unbecome the person who serves in your area of passion. And yet, just because I stand here doesn't make me any greater. Matter of fact, you could make an argument that far from being greater than the rest, it is the person who cleans the toilet, it's the person who vacuums the carpet, the kids who mow the lawn, who do the things in the background, the services of necessity, who are to be honored and lifted up, who are great in the kingdom of God. Finally, service is the path of blessing because it is what Jesus said. At the end of the day, I'm going to mess up stuff, you're going to mess up stuff, we're going to tell jokes that nobody gets or nobody laughs at. I don't know why. I've been telling bad jokes for 20 years. Why don't you just laugh at them automatically? At the end of the day, none of that matters. What matters is what did Jesus say? And what Jesus says in this text, if you know these things, if you know that I have humbled myself to serve you, you will be blessed if you do the same thing. You are blessed if you do them. Are you looking for the blessing of God? Would you like to have the applause of heaven, not just when you pass that threshold into heaven, but would you like the applause of heaven now? You can have the applause of heaven now by doing acts of service. But here's the thing. You can't just think about serving. You can't just talk about serving. To receive the blessing promised by Jesus, you have to actually serve. We can't say, I'll become a servant one day. You can't say, I'll start serving when I've achieved my goals, or when the kids are grown, or when I've taken care of my other responsibilities. You can't say, I'll start serving when I retire, or when the kids are out of the house, because you won't. Because if you keep on putting off becoming a servant, there will always be one more very good reason to delay taking up the towel. You'll get to the end of your life having done everything you meant to do except service. And you may have gone through your life fully engaged in the service of your passion without ever being involved in the services of necessity. And whereas that's well and good, and you it can be very satisfying, that's not the blessing that Jesus wants to give you. I feel incredibly blessed to have the privilege of pastoring. And it's cool. I just like it. It's in my blood. The hand of God is on my shoulder saying, do this or die. But the real blessing of pastoring for me is when I step out of my service of passion and I start involving myself in the services of necessity, where I pick up flower petals because somebody has to do it, where I empty the trash, where I visit the sick, or I stop by the side of the road to talk to people who are walking, where I go to the hospital. It's an interesting thing. I go to the hospital. I try to go whenever somebody's in the hospital. If you're in intensive care, I'll go every day. If you're just in the hospital, you know, for an extended stay because you like the hospital and you like hospital food, I'll go about every other day. I found something out. I actually don't have to do that. It's actually not in my job description, and Oddly, there's a lot of pastors who don't do that. I know that because the hospital's always shocked when I show up another day. You again? Why are you here? I'm on a first name basis with the receptionist at the operating, you know, the whatever that, you know, welcome center for that, for getting surgery. I'm on a first name basis with the nurses in intensive care. They go, wow, you're back again? And sometimes I go twice a day or three times a day. And the nurse goes, Paul, what's wrong with you? Don't you have a job? I don't have to do it. But to me, it's a service of necessity. And that's the true blessing. And that's when God blesses me. And I think the same is true for you. You can serve within your area of passion, and I encourage you to. I think you ought to be serving in your area of passion. You ought to discover your passion. You ought to pursue it with a passion until you can find yourself connected exactly where God has gifted you, both with the talents and the time and with the heart to do a ministry. But genuine passion, genuine blessing of God is going to come when you are involved in the service of necessity. Oftentimes, things that people will never notice. And up until this point, I'm not sure anybody knew that I pick up flower petals on Sunday morning. Now I can't do it anymore because I've stolen the blessing. Jesus says, if you want the blessing of God, if you want to receive a blessing, if you want God to applaud you, now there's not going to be a crack of thunder or a bolt of thunder, or lightning and a crack of thunder, and there's not going to be a goat going into the city either. That's a historical reference. If you want that, you're probably not going to get this great cloud of thunder that you did something, you picked up some dirt. But God smiles when you're involved in the service of necessity, wiping up after some spilled coffee, helping someone across the street. God smiles on you. And the smile of God is so precious. At some point, you need to begin. Stop thinking about it. Stop praying about it. Just do it. Serve in your area of passion. But pick up a towel and serve in the area of necessity also. And then you will receive God's blessing.